Let's turn together in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, we'll be reading the first two verses there, and then we'll also be starting our series again in the Heidelberg Catechism. So we're going to be starting with question and answer one, and we'll be reading that responsively in just a moment from now. But first, let's read in our Bibles from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, sometimes called the Gospel of the Old Testament. Isaiah 40, just the first two verses here. That's page 712. Isaiah 40, page 712. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And it's this focus of comfort that we're going to be looking at now as we look at question and answer one. If you'd like to turn in the back of your red songbooks, we'll respond by reading this answer together. That's page 872. I'll read the question. Let's respond with the answer together. 872, question and answer one. Congregation of Christ, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And as far as reading in the Catechism, this evening we pray for the blessing of our God and the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we begin our series in the Catechism this evening, it's important for us to remember that the Catechism is often called the Book of Comfort. One of the themes that runs throughout the Heidelberg Catechism is the comfort that we have in belonging in Jesus Christ. So I ask you, what is comfort? Well, the word comfort simply means with strength. It's a combination of two Latin words, with strength or to have strength. Having comfort means that we have encouragement, that we have rest, that it is well with us. But how do we get comfort? Well, when I asked Wikipedia, it says that we get comfort from doing familiar things, sitting in a comfortable position, thinking pleasant thoughts, and consuming comfort foods. In fact, I found out there is an entire genre of music called comfort songs. But is that it? If we are looking for comfort, do we find ourselves just sitting in our easy chair with our feet up, thinking good thoughts and eating junk food? Is that the content of comfort? Is that all we need to have comfort in this life and in the life to come? Comfort for our body and for our souls. In fact, the need for comfort is one that is impressed upon us, and it is a comfort that lasts throughout generations. In fact, we have a need for comfort, the same need that those living in 1563 also had when the Catechism was written. It is a common pursuit of man to find and to maintain lasting comfort. It is a comfort that applies to those living in Heidelberg, Germany, and it applies to us living here in the United States today. Not only does it apply to us over the time and over different areas, it applies to us in different positions. As you might remember, the authors of the Catechism were seminary professors, and it applies to us as lay people today as well, sitting in the pew. We all, in whatever position we find ourselves in, need this lasting comfort. So we begin our series this evening by looking at this theme. Those who belong to Jesus Christ are united to the only source of lasting comfort. I'll say that again. Those who are united to Jesus Christ by faith are united to the only source of lasting comfort. And our first point, then, we find that the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ is a comfort that is exclusive. It is exclusive. It is singular. Promising comfort assumes that we need comfort. If you have a little child that is crying and is picked up by this child's mother, that embrace comforts the child, but that comfort is given in the context of pain, of sorrow. Perhaps they've been riding their bike and they fell down and they skinned their knee and they're come running to their mom crying, and that mom is able to pick up that child, to embrace that child and make everything better. Well, the need for comfort assumes that we are uncomfortable. Now, this might sound a little weak, that we are uncomfortable. When we hear the word uncomfortable, we tend to think of, well, I have shoes that I've outgrown. They're not comfortable. I need to go and buy a new pair of shoes. Being uncomfortable is something that is usually easy to fix. But when it comes to humanity and us being uncomfortable, it is much deeper, more severe than just a lack of ease. Because as human beings, we are afflicted. We have the hardship of trial and grief. We are born in sin and misery. Our catechism says we are under the tyranny of the devil. We are born enemies of God, slaves, heir to the curse. Of all the comforters that can be found in this world, of all the sources for comfort that people might go to, there is only one that can deal with this deep, pressing need. There is no amount of junk food, there is no comfortable chair or good thoughts or happy songs that you can sing that will deal with this need. This comfort has a singular source. I belong to Jesus Christ. I have a comfort that is unlike every other comforter. This kind of comfort is unique, and it is one of kind. It is the only source of comfort to people born in sin and misery. It is the only comfort that applies to, as we'll see in our next point, body and soul, in life and in death. We need comfort because you and I, we are born, we live in the presence of pain and suffering and loss and grief and peril and turmoil. What say you? Where do you go for comfort? There is only one place, only one source, only one comforter that can address these needs. This is the good news of the gospel revealed in God's word. Good news of great joy for all people because a Savior has been born. So Jesus is completely unique. When the catechism says, what is your only comfort? It means that there is only one comfort. As Acts 4 says, there is only one name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved. Jesus is singular, he is exclusive, and he alone can give us the comfort that you and I so desperately need. It is he alone that can dry our tears, calm our fears, raise the dead, and grant eternal life. Notice, as we read earlier in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah speaking on behalf of the Lord to his people, comfort, comfort my people. To comfort here, Isaiah is giving consolation. He is calming anxieties. The comfort that the Israelites needed was the comfort of knowing that there is someone who is in control, someone who is sovereign over the nations. Comfort coming in the assurance of a person and a message of peace. But what was the specific context? If you have your Bibles open, look at the context of this message of comfort. The context is this: speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Give her good news. So what's the good news? Her warfare is over, and her iniquity is pardoned. The war is over. The war not between other nations and the nation of Israel, but the war between an angry God and a sinful people. The war is over. There is peace because a Savior has been born. This is the comforting truth that the Israelites needed. Not only that there is going to be an end of the wars between Assyria and Babylon and all the other wars that are going to go forth, but that God is at peace with his people. Here again, we find that this is an exclusive claim. Who is Isaiah speaking to? Who is this comfort for? Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak to Jerusalem. Speak to the Israelites. Speak to the church. Speak to my people, God's people. This is a comfort that is exclusively reserved for you. Because you belong to a faithful Savior. So this comfort is exclusive because it is applied to God's people and to God's people alone. It is not a comfort for all people indiscriminately. It is a comfort for God's people. And it is an exclusive comfort because only those who trust in Christ and Christ alone can receive it. In other words, if you trust in someone or something in addition or instead of Jesus Christ, you do not have this comfort. This comfort is exclusively reserved for those who trust in Jesus Christ and trust him alone. That is why question and answer one begins with this question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? So I could ask you, brother and sister, what say you? How do you answer this question? Can you say that this answer is your answer, that it is a statement of your personal faith, that you have the comfort of belonging to the only Savior because you trust in him alone? Because if you do trust in Jesus Christ alone, then this is your answer. This is the good news that you so desperately need. My only comfort in life and in death is that I'm not my own, but I belong to Jesus Christ. The one, the only one that can save, has saved me. And he has made me a member of his people. Well, now that we've considered the exclusive nature of this comfort, in our second point, we move on to consider how this comfort is extensive. What is this comfort and how does it apply to us? As I said before, the comfort of this world, the comfort that you can find in sitting in an easy chair, eating comfort food, listening to comforting music, that is very superficial and it is temporary. It doesn't last. And it only applies to your body. There is only one source of comfort that applies to not only your body, but also to your soul. And it is this comfort that Jesus Christ has secured and brought to us. As 1 Peter 1 verse 19 puts it, you were ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to him body and soul. You belong to him fully. Every aspect of you that makes you a person has been purchased, ransomed, redeemed, and pardoned. Your body and soul belong to him fully. Now, you might be asking yourself this question, why is it good news? Why is it good news that my body and soul belongs to Jesus Christ, that I don't belong to myself, that my body and soul do not belong to the devil, that my body and soul belongs to Jesus Christ? Why is this good news? Why is it comforting? Well, the answer is because if you belong to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ has a responsibility for you. He is owner. You are his possession. And since he has a responsibility for you, he will necessarily care for you, body and soul, protecting and providing for you, because you are his. You are his possession, prized possession. That's what we say, that's what we mean when we call him our Lord. Lord means master, owner, our sovereign one. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, he purchased the entirety of your being. Your body and soul belongs to him. He is responsible for you. And he cares for that which he has purchased. Now, we understand this, that we have a responsibility to care for the things that belong to us. For example, perhaps you have purchased your first car and you know what it's like, that you have a privileged possession. It's important to you. You wash your car, you change the oil in your car, you don't use your car as a demolition derby, you're not smashing it into things because you put money into this. It's precious to you because it's yours, right? It belongs to you. You want to protect your investment. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ protects his investment. And what he has paid for is you. So he will provide for you. He will give you everything you need for your body and soul while you are called to live here on this earth, providing for you each day. Even as the Father gave his Son for you, will he not also provide for your daily needs? He gives you the soul, he gives for your soul, providing for your spirit, giving you living bread. All that is necessary for our body and soul will here be provided. But he also protects us. This is a significant source of comfort. Because you belong to Jesus, Jesus will protect you. Who will he protect you from? He will protect you from the enemies, the devil, the world. He will keep you in his hand. You are in the hands of the good shepherd. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus? There is nothing in height or in the depth. There is no power, no principality, not even the devil or death itself can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ because you belong to him. This is comfort. Not one of your enemies can touch you or snatch you. Nothing falls outside of his purview. You belong to him, body and in soul. Now, another passing application flows from this point. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then what you do falls under the realm of his ownership. What you do with your body reflects the one to whom you belong to. That is why it's so significant, so important, what you do with your body. That you are not your own. Your body is not your own. You are not free to do with your flesh and blood as you please or as you see fit. In fact, that was one of the pressing applications that Paul gives in the book of Corinthians. Can we join this body to a prostitute since we've been joined to Christ? You are not your own. Belonging to him is a sobering fact. We read this earlier in Romans 14. No one lives to himself. You don't live for your own pleasure. Paul says, so glorify God with your body. Why should you glorify God with your body? Because your body is not your own. Your body has been purchased. It also means that you have a purpose. that your life has meaning and significance, a greater meaning and significance now than before. Because you're called to glorify God, the one who gives you comfort. Well, let's press on then to consider our third point, our final point then, that not only do we have comfort that covers our entire being, it is also an enduring or an lasting comfort. We have a comfort that applies to us body and soul, but it is also a comfort that applies to us in life and in death. Here again, we find this in Romans 14. Whether we live or if we die, we are the Lord's. Belonging to our Lord and Savior, body and soul, in life and in death, means that we have a comfort that is enduring. Enduring meaning that it doesn't have an expiration date. We can never live beyond the realm of His comfort. We belong to our Lord and Savior from birth to death and even beyond death because we are His. We are safe, secure, protected. Even when we are called to lay our bodies in the grave, our bodies still belong to the Lord. And even in the intermediate state, when your soul is with Christ in glory and your body rests in the dust of the earth, you still belong, body and soul, to a faithful Savior. Your body belongs to Him and will be raised and will be made new again. This means we have a comfort that covers every aspect of our life. What part of us is beyond body, soul, life, and death? We have a comfort that is enduring and covers every aspect and indeed abides unto eternity. Psalm 23, a beloved psalm of many people. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I have the comfort of belonging, an eternal comfort. It is very important, indeed, one of the most important decisions we can make in our life, that we look to the right place for comfort. Children, let's imagine for a moment that you are in a room, you're trapped in a room, and this room is on fire. There are no windows in this room. There are two doors. Behind door number one is a solid brick wall. Behind door number two is a fire escape and certain rescue. How do you know which one to choose? Well, the door that leads to life is clearly marked. It's the way of salvation. It's trusting in Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. The fact is, we are all of us born in sin and misery. We are born in this room that's on fire. Choose wisely where you go for comfort. If you trust the things of this world, you are going to the first door that leads nothing to a brick wall. But if you trust in Jesus Christ, you will find rescue and comfort and life everlasting. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. Consider carefully where you go, where you look, for relief and comfort. Because our God is the God of comfort, and He promises to rescue His people. Indeed, if you look at the Catechism question and answer, it's Trinitarian in how it presents this good news. It's beautiful in how it brings the Father and the Son and the Spirit all present and active in this work of comforting us. We find the Father and our creation and providence, the Son in our redemption and deliverance, the Spirit in our sanctification and assurance. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his good purpose. So that as question and answer two, next week, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at this together, but when question and answer two begins, what do you need to know in order to live and die in the joy of this comfort? Because the fact is, you can live and even die in the joy of this comfort. It is possible to have joy and comfort in this world, in this life, because your body and your soul belongs to Jesus Christ. And it is possible to even face death with joy and comfort because you belong to Jesus Christ in life and in death. Just as a crying child stops their weeping when their mother comforts them, so those who are in Christ have lasting peace, assurance, and even joy in the light of this truth. It is this lasting comfort that mitigates grief and helps us endure the sorrow as we look forward to the good future. As we close, we have seen that true and lasting comfort is something that only God can give. The comforters and the comforts of this world are passing, are vain, are temporary. They are shadows. They have no substance. But the gift of comfort that God pronounces to his people, on his people, comfort, comfort ye my people, thus saith your God, your warfare is over. I am at peace with you because I've sent my Son. As 1 Corinthians 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Did you catch all the comfort in that one verse? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received. This is the good news of the gospel, that those who belong to Jesus Christ are united to the source of lasting comfort. So may we go forth into this week, into the rest of our lives, in the comfort, in the confidence of children, knowing that we are at peace with a God of all comfort. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has become to us our comforter and has sent his Spirit to be our comforter within. O Lord, may we trust in the promises of your word. May we trust in Jesus alone, who has purchased us so that we belong body and soul in life and in death to him, our faithful Savior. And in his name we pray. Amen.